many of you have ever watched the game show Deal or No Deal? Anyone? Alright, open the case.
Price is Right. That's where it's Price is Right.
Price is Right. No, this one's called Deal or No Deal. And it's a fairly simple game, I think. I don't think they would let me on the show, because you only really need like a couple things. Like, one, you need to be good at math, relatively speaking, and you need to not be overly greedy. And you do really well. So if you haven't watched the show, it starts out, there's 26 briefcases out there. And the contestant chooses one of the briefcases, and that's theirs. And within each briefcase, there's like a card in there, and it has like a sign anywhere from one penny to $1 million. And then one at a time, the contestant picks out briefcases, and then they open it up. And that amount of money is revealed. And throughout the show, there's a banker. And the banker makes an offer for you to trade in the case that you have to in the game, or you, like some people do, they keep going until they open up that very last case. And so the show ends when they either make the trade or they open up that case. And here's the reality. You and I make trades all the time. You're going to make a trade this afternoon. The biggest commodity that we have that we make trades with is our time. You have been given, as far as I know, we've been given this day. And you made a decision this morning. Okay, so I have these hours this morning. I'm going to trade in those hours to come here and worship. That was a trade that you made. And we all do this. As an employee, you make a trade for your time and your talents for a paycheck. As an athlete, an athlete will trade in their time and their talents and maybe their health for a chance of being victorious. As a student, you trade in your time for knowledge, or maybe you just trade in your time to get a piece of paper, whatever it is, but we all trade. And we sometimes we trade our own conscience. Sometimes we may trade our soul for something that we think, I want this. And I don't care what it costs me, I will give that up. So we're all traders, right? We all, not with a T, but with a D, okay? Some might be the other, but I don't know. Here's the question, and it's the question that they make during that show. You know, when they say deal or no deal, was it a good deal? Did you make a good trade? Are we going to make good trades with what we do with the time that we're given? Now some of that is defined by what do I consider my mission? What do I consider my purpose? Who am I? What's my role in the world? And then we evaluate things according to that. Well, today we're starting a new sermon series, and I'm really excited about this sermon series. It's called Mission Possible. That it's possible for you to pursue the mission that God has for you and to discover your purpose. Why did God create me? Why did He give me these talents? Why did He place me here? Why am I in this community at this time? What is your mission and what is your purpose? And here's my invitation today. Make a good trade. Make the good trade. Find out, okay, what am I pursuing and what do I need to trade to pursue what God has for me? And as we were thinking this through and processing, okay, what am I going to put in this sermon series? I thought, you know what, we need to start in Genesis 1. we really need to start there and say, okay, what does God say? So we're going to start in Genesis 1. I'll get to Genesis 1:26 here in about 10 seconds. But in this passage, as we start through Genesis 1, we look and we see that God has already filled the earth. He has created the heavens and the earth, and He's filled it with fish and birds and vegetation and all this awesome stuff. And then in verse 26, we have this crowning moment. This is Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 26, the Bible reads, "And then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heaven, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So the Bible tells us that God created all kinds of things. But in this moment, God says, "Let us," which is referring to the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God says, "Let us create man. Let us create humankind in the image of God." And it says, "In male and female, he created them." So we know something right off the bat. We are created for community. We are created for relationship. If the God that lives in eternal community says, let's make people in our image, we know that we're made for relationship. You and I were designed for relationship. As Josh was up here talking and then Zeph came up to pray, I thought, you know what's fun about this is we get to do it together. Because I've done some things all by myself, and it's not always the funnest thing in the world. I'm excited that God has called us in community. And the reality is when we all use our gifts, male and female, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, when we gather together, that is when we reflect the image of God the best. That is His design. And as we think about this, regardless of the circumstances of your birth, you are not an accident. God created you. God designed you for a purpose. Within His good and sovereign will, He has a plan for your life. He chose to design you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, is what the Bible tells us. And you think about that from conception to the grave. People are full of dignity. You have unique talents. You have unique gifts that God has placed in you for His glory. I think this is why Jesus says in Matthew 25, "When you did this to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." In other words, whoever's out there, you've never looked in the eyes of somebody else that isn't created in the image of God. And he says, "And when you reach out to those on the margins, those who you normally wouldn't connect with," Jesus said, you've connected with me. You did something for me. And when we look at the image of God, that's why we look at horrible things in our world, like human trafficking, pornography, murder, racism, sexism, almost any other ism that's out there. That's why it's wrong. Because we look at it, go, people are created in the image and likeness of God, and we are robbing them of their dignity. We're robbing them of their humanity. It is an affront to a holy and righteous God. Because He has created people in His image and likeness. C.S. Lewis says, "There are no ordinary people. You have never met a mere mortal." Wow. It's powerful stuff when you think of what does it mean to be created in the image and likeness of God. Theologian N.T. Wright, he describes the image of God as like an angled mirror. And he puts it this way. When he was a young man, he became very sick. And he had to spend a lot of time alone in his room to rest up and to heal. And his mother was concerned that he was disconnected to the rest of the family. And so he was going to lose that. And so she took a mirror and she angled it in his doorway. And from his bed, he could look out and he could see everybody else in the house and what was going on, and they could see him, and they could stay connected. And as he describes this, he said that this is what it means to be made in the image and likeness of God. And I'll explain that. Because here's a reality. Most people have a mirror just right in front of them. They look at that mirror, and what that mirror reflects back is how they see the world. That's how they make decisions. And there's some problems with that. Because one, it could move us to a place of low self-worth. You know, if you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, oh man, I'm nothing. And you'll let people treat you like you're nothing. Now, on the other side, it could lead to narcissism. You look in that mirror and you go, man, I've got it together. If I were humble, I would be perfect. And we've got a lot of people just looking in that mirror. And they make decisions from that. Now, the child of God, the one who knows that they are created in the image and likeness of God, you already know that you have value. Because you're created in His image. You're created in His likeness. And so what C.S. Lewis says is we are that angled mirror that we reflect God to the world. God's here. We reflect God out into the world. And he says, but not only that, we reflect the world back to God. Think about in the Old Testament, the prophet and the priest. What does a priest do? A priest goes before God on behalf of the people. He talks to God on behalf of the people. What does the prophet do? The prophet goes before the people on behalf of God. That is the angled mirror that we reflect God to the world, and the world to God. So we have a purpose here. Your purpose, you're thinking, okay, what's my purpose in life? All right, I'm just going to give it to you. Free today. To know God and reflect Him to others. That's your purpose. To come into this relationship, to know God and reflect Him to others. If you don't know Him, you're not going to reflect Him. You're going to reflect what's in that mirror right in front of you. And from my own experience, my own life, it's not pretty. Our mission, our purpose is to know God and to reflect Him to others. Now, you also have a purpose with that mission. Let me reread Genesis 1:28 again. It says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heaven and over every living thing that moves on earth. All right. I don't want you to miss this. Listen like real closely here and then go back to sleep after that. But this, no, nobody's actually sleeping, but sometimes they do. This is important as we understand the next few weeks. Our God is a sending God. God sends His people out on mission. And you can see this right here in this passage. What is God doing? God creates image bearers, and He sends them out into the world. He says, I want you to go out into the world. Basically, I want you to fill the world with My glory. And so what does that mean? Think about Adam. What's his first job? He cultivated land, right? He was a scientist before that because he named and classified animals and what have you. But at this point, he cultivates the land. And let me tell you something about his job. I'm glad you were talking about work. His job was not a necessary evil. Sometimes we think about that about work. Right? It's a necessary evil to do what I want to do. No, actually, it was a part of what it meant to be an image bearer of God. In fact, if your job is a necessary evil, you might want to rethink your vocation. Being made in the image and likeness of God provides this basis for work and vocation. So if we're created in God's image and likeness, that means we share His characteristics, right? Of holiness and goodness and what is right and create creativity and those types of things. And so as we do our job, we go out. Whatever your job is, just do it well. Do your job for the glory of God. That people would look at and say, why do you have a passion about this? I coach. But why are you passionate about that? Is it about an implement that flies far? Not really. Although it's kind of cool. But it's about reflecting God. It's about lifting others up and allowing them to experience what it means to be created in the image and likeness of God, to use their creativity, to use those gifts, and to glorify God with those things. That's what our work should be about. That's our job. And so Adam and Eve, they're called to be fruitful. They're called to multiply. They're called to fill the earth, to subdue it, have dominion. Basically, God says, go fill the earth with my glory. Reflect me to all creation. So that's pretty cool. That's Genesis 1, 2. Let's see how they do Genesis chapter 3. You get a drink here. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God actually say? You know something's bad. When somebody said, did God really say this? Okay. Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that if you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delightful delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Just a word to the guys here. If your wife's talking to a serpent, don't do what he says to do. Eat the serpent, don't eat the other thing. Okay? So, I mean, the guy's just standing right there. Sounds good. So I started out saying, every day you're going to make a trade. You make a trade. You're going to make a trade with your time, your talents. You're going to trade them for something. Adam and Eve are going to make a trade right here. Because here comes out the banker. The serpent. Serpent, banker, I don't know. And he says, eat of this tree, and you don't need the mirror angled towards God anymore. That's what he's saying. He used the same words. He's saying, you don't need to angle that mirror toward God and reflect it out to others. If you eat of this tree, you'll know good and evil for yourself. You see the mirror changing direction? It was once like this angle, now it's coming straight on. And all you have to do now is you look straight on. Now, Adam and Eve, you can define good and evil on your own terms. They might be the first, but they're not the last. They define evil and good on their own terms. And they made this trade. And here's the question they ask on deal or no deal. Was it a good deal? Was it a good trade? No, it is a horrible trade. While the image of God is not completely destroyed in humankind, because even after the fall, God still refers to people as people that are made in his image and likeness, it has been severely damaged. Theologian Francis Schaeffer says this. He says, man is a glorious ruin. That phrase. But instead of looking to God for answers, how do I live this life? What is my purpose? What is my mission? We now look at ourselves. And the result, if you just read Genesis 3, to 12, or just read the whole Bible for that matter, and it describes the results of this trade. I mean, a chapter later, we've got a brother murdering his own brother. And it just falls down, and it gets worse. Genesis chapter 6, which isn't, you know, that's not a long read between Genesis 3 and 6. And it says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intention and thoughts of his heart was only continually evil. And so you and I are born into this fallen world, in which image bearers are defiant of the living God that created him, that put his image and likeness in them. And we're defiant of the purpose of life. And the book of Judges puts it this way. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Does that sound like the place you and I live? Everybody doing what is right within his own eyes. Now, so that's all bad news. The good news is that there is a king. And the king has come, and the king has defeated sin. The king has defeated death. And he has come to restore what is lost. His name is Jesus. And the Bible says it in Mark 1:15. Jesus speaking, comes on the scene, and he says, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Turn from pursuing your own way, looking at that mirror straight on, to go into that angled mirror that reflects God. A Bible scholar, Hugh Wolchel, says this, the gospel call is a redemptive turn to the lost and forfeited calling of being God's image bearers in the world. The calling has never had anything less than the entirety of God's original good creation in view. And here's the cool thing about Jesus. Jesus isn't created. He's not made in the image and likeness of God. He is the image of God. You want to know what God is like? Just look at Jesus. And you say, that is what God is like. Colossians puts it this way. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, the preeminent one over creation. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, and we all of us here with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. We're being transformed from that broken image that is messed up into the same image of God Himself, Jesus Christ, from one degree of glory to the other, for this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. So you and I need the image of God restored in us. We need what was lost in the garden restored, so that you and I can have a relationship with God our Father, and we can live out the mission that God has called us to be. The restored image of God looks like Christ. We look to Him. He is our example. He is our Redeemer. He is the one that is doing the work within us. And when you and I call upon the Lord as Lord and Savior, where we say, Lord, I'm thankful you died on that cross for my sins, my salvation. I invite you into my life as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving my sins. And then as we begin to follow Him, the Bible tells us that we are conformed to His image. That's what Romans 8:29 tells us, that we are conformed to the image of His Son. The perfect representation, the exact image of God. Colossians 3:9-10 puts it this way, kind of a step here. It says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. In other words, he's saying, quit looking at that mirror in front of you and the things you practice when you do that. He says, and put on the new self. Make an exchange. Make a trade here. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. I turn from my way to his way, and God renews me in his image. I heard Rabbi Zacharias. Anybody ever listen to him? If you want to listen to a Christian that's like off the wall intelligent, he's one of those guys. I need a dictionary when he preaches. But he tells this story, and maybe many of you remember this story, that they're standing in front of the temple, and a guy comes up to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? And wouldn't it have been cool if Jesus was like, nah, don't worry about it. he doesn't do that. I mean, Jesus, just like the writers of Survivor tell you, pay your taxes. It's healthy for you. It's good for you. Keeps you out of jail. But Jesus says this. He says, whose likeness, whose inscription, whose image is on the coin? Well, they look at the coin and they go, well, Caesar's image is on the coin. And so Jesus answers him in Mark 12:17. It says, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. Now, Rabbi takes the story a little bit further. He says, if the guy was really genuine, he should have asked another question. Because if this is Caesar's, then what belongs to God? And Jesus would have answered that question in the same way. Where has God put his image? Where has God put his likeness? Right here. God has put his image, he has put his likeness upon us. And so if I want to be consistent with what Jesus is saying here, then I need to render unto God what is God's. I need to say, okay, God, I belong to you. And that's the best thing. Because you have a mission for me. You have a purpose. You have a vision for my life. The best thing that I can do is surrender my life to you. God's image is on you. Will you render? Will you surrender your life to God? Will you each day put off that old self? Say, I know this is the old pattern. I know something has changed spiritually, but this is the old pattern. But will you put that off? And each day, put on the new self. Walk after Christ's Spirit. Walk as he walked. Walk in his mission as we continue. So I'm not assuming anybody in here has it all figured out, myself included. But as we continue to discover, okay, what is the mission? What is my purpose for my life? We're going to invite the worship team up. You guys come on up. But here's the question. You're going to trade today. You're going to trade tomorrow. You're going to trade your gifts. You're going to trade your talents. You're going to trade the time that you have left on this planet for something. And my question is, will you make the trade to pursue God's plan, God's mission, God's purpose for your lives? Will we together as Hope Community Church, will we go out and be that reflective mirror where people would look and say, wow, okay, that's what God's like? That's what it looks like to be followers of God? Let me pray.